Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, which is still relevant. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that place was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, clothes to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for your holy word, which you regard above your holy name, according to your holy word. And we thank you for what we just read. Have it to increase our faith. Have it to strengthen our faith. And have it to teach us how to hope in the last days. And Holy Father God, we are weak and we feel weak, but we know that you are strong and mighty. And we pray that you would grant us your grace and your strength, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And even though, Lord, there may not be a whole lot of shouting going on, which we know is not the proof of your presence, because we know that you have and you do speak to us in a still, small voice, and you do more work in our hearts oftentimes that way than when there's a whole lot of noise and shouting. So have mercy and grace upon us all who name the name of Christ, who are believers in Christ, where we have sinned against you in any way. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew, as your Christian people, with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help our technicians to be on point, all of the people who manned the six cameras out of here, and Spreaker Live, and all of the live stuff that's going out of here, and then on demand as well. And Lord, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts from the hearts and lives of those people who have that in their lives, who have allowed the devil to control them, to try to hinder your work. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this place, from this message, as it goes out around the world and on demand to thousands of people. And Lord, we pray that in the end, we pray for over 3 million lost souls to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of this ministry, through the preaching of the gospel. We pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived again, and your holy name to be glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted. We cast all of our cares upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. We do pray that you will continue to provide for all of the needs that we have to get the gospel out around the world. And we want to help others more who are doing the same. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to continue to preach in your hearing in our Saturday series at Second Coming Chapel. How to hope. Not how to have hope, but how to hope. What to do while you are looking for the second coming of Christ. Lessons actually from the Old Testament, the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 13. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we continue looking at the experience of Jacob and the ladder from heaven that foreshadowed God coming down to be with his people through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking at three specific ways that Jacob responded to God as an example of how we should respond as we await the Lord's second coming. One of the things that I have emphasized very much so, as we do three or four things a week on the second coming of Christ through our ministry, is not only hope, the blessed hope, and reminding people to not get so caught up in this world that we forget that Jesus Christ is coming back, but equally as important, I have emphasized what we ought to be doing until he comes back. And that's a part of this, what this series is about. Not just sitting around hoping on the blessed hope, but occupying until Jesus comes. Amen, somebody. See, one of the best ways to anticipate something good coming is to stay busy until it comes. So first today we saw in previous weeks that Jacob made a place for God, and we ought to make place for God as well in our lives. Jacob designated the place where God met him at Bethel, meaning house of God. We need to have room for God in our lives. This was a place where Jacob would return as a reminder of what the Lord had done for him. We ought to make place for God in our hearts and lives as well. In fact, God ought to be first and foremost in our lives as we look for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. More and more so, we ought to be in a good Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church that honors God, that lifts up Jesus Christ, and the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is its foundation. We ought not to follow false prophets and false teachers, for they will destroy the blessed hope in your heart because you have no foundation. They will cause you to doubt the Bible instead of believe what the Bible says. And these false prophets are very dangerous. They will destroy your faith. They are worse than the professor at college who causes you to doubt God's word. Secondly, Jacob made a commitment to God. So not only should we put God first, not only should we make room for God in our lives first and foremost, but we ought to make a commitment to God. We ought to be committed to the Lord. Jacob vowed a vow that the Lord would be his God. Have you made that kind of commitment? We ought to make a commitment to the Lord. We ought to make a commitment that Jesus will be the Lord of our lives, no matter what takes place. No matter what happens, no matter how much tribulation, no matter how much trouble, no matter how much pain we will face down the road, you need to make that commitment up front as you wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said a long time ago, don't wait to start praying and reading the Bible when the temptation is right there on you. Start praying and reading the Bible way before the temptation. And they said, make up your mind before the Lord what you're going to do when the temptation comes. That's commitment. Your mind is already made up. David used the terminology, my heart is fixed. And that's how you ought to be. And by the way, in this day and time when false prophets and false teachers are shooting torpedoes at the foundation of our faith, which is the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you need to listen to me well on this. If you don't have the Word of God in your heart, if the Word of God is not your foundation. You have nothing to stand on, man. When the arrows and the bullets come flying from the devil and his demons, all you have to stand on is the Word of God. When your spouse or your child is in the hospital, you better either know the Word of God in your heart, or you better have a Bible with you. Because nothing can comfort you, and nothing can help you, and nothing can stabilize you and keep you stable like the Word of God. It's a part of your armor and your weaponry, according to Ephesians chapter 6. If we don't have the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, by the way, Paul was talking about the Old Testament when he said, carry the Word of God with you. It is your sword. You need to have the Word of God as your foundation, as your weapon to defeat the devil. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he could have created new words, but he made reference to the Word of God when Satan, the Old Testament, when Satan came to tempt him. So my beloved, make a commitment to God by reading his word, by meditating on his word. Not only that, by doing what his word says do. See, that's, you can't even make a commitment. You can't even have a strong commitment to God unless you have the Word of God involved. I urge you, I lovingly encourage you, I strongly urge you to pray without ceasing and read the Word of God as well. I believe that you ought to involve the Word of God every time you pray. While you're praying, quote the Word of God. If you pray every half hour, or pray every hour, quote the Word of God, or read the Word of God. And we're not talking about long, drawn-out prayers when we're talking about praying without ceasing. One of the great spiritual men of the past, he called the praying without ceasing prayers breath prayers. Well, you pray a few seconds. By the way, the Lord's Prayer only takes it takes less than a minute to pray. But read a verse from the Word of God, something that you're struggling with, something that you are hurting over right now. Every tribulation period in my life over the past 40 years, I have gotten through it through the Word of God, with the Word of God. That helped me more than anything. I prayed. I was praying before, praying during it, and praying after it. But I lean on the Word of God. And sometimes the crisis is so thick and so heavy, you better have the Word of God in your heart, man, woman. You know, you may not even feel like picking up the Bible or finding a Bible. You better have it in your heart. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Store up the Word of God in your heart so that when the temptations come, when you feel like quitting, come. And you feel like throwing in the towel, come. You feel like retaliating, come to the Word of God. Have the Word of God in your heart. Hold it up highly. Esteem the Word of God highly. It's not some small thing that you can just leave behind. Your Christian life will be destroyed if you don't lean on God's holy word, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Third today, getting out of the review and getting into the meat of the message today, not only did Jacob make a commitment to God, and not only did Jacob make a commitment to God, not only did he make place for God, Thirdly, we see that Jacob determined to give back to God. God had made a commitment to him. God had blessed him and his forefathers. As part of his vow to God, Jacob told God, "Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." This is, of course, the principle of tithing. Dr. William Barclay writes, "The first explicit references to the tithe appear in Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham tithes to Melchizedek, which many theologians believe was a type of Christ. And here in Genesis chapter 28, where Jacob promises to give God a full tenth, a tithe of everything that God has given to him. And all Christians know, all believing Christians know, that this principle works. It honors God, and God has a way of blessing his people when they are faithful in giving to him, giving back to him 10% and more. Some have suggested Jacob was offering a one-time tithe. But as Dr. John Currid observes, the verb to tithe describes frequent multiple actions. Jacob appears to be making a lifetime commitment to Yahweh in the matter of tithing. For many Christians, this is hard for them to get their head around. But I assure you that God will teach it to you. I assure you that if you keep on living, God will teach it. If you are a true child of God, if you're born again one, he will help you with it. In the Old Testament, the tithe was more than giving money. And in reality, it should be more than giving money today. But that's how we look at it today, tithing our money. As we often view it today, in fact, money was rarely given as a tithe in those days. Instead, the Jews gave of their resources, such as food, crops, and livestock, to the Lord, back to the Lord, because the Lord is the one who gave it to them in the first place, and later to the Levites, the servants of the Lord, who served as the ministers of God to the people for the work of the ministry. We ought to follow the example of Jacob and the ancient Jews and commit to giving a tenth or more of our money, tithe and offerings, which is not our money in the first place. It is God's money. And not only money, but time directly to the Lord. Most of us think that we can trust ourselves to give freely out of the good feelings in our hearts. But the truth of the matter is, most people are selfish. And they're only concerned about themselves. And so when money lands in their hands, I thank the Lord that they want to keep it. Their philosophy is a bird in hand is better than a bird in a bush, or whatever that philosophy is. But I thank the Lord I did not hearken to the voice of my wife, Marika White, throughout the years, particularly in the early years. She did not understand the concept of us being full-time in the ministry and oftentimes struggling when money did come in, how I wanted to give back to the Lord. And I tried to teach it to her and train her in it, but she never really caught on. Her attitude and mentality is when $100 came in, she would say, "Shoot, we need that money for this and that and the other. Shoot." And I said, "No, God has blessed us with this money, and we're going to give it back to the Lord. We're going to give 10% plus an offering." And we started out with 20%. And then over the years, then when my oldest daughter, Danny, was born, she was more acceptable to this idea. She rather accepted this idea as a young child. And so I had her to start helping me to make sure that when money came in, because we didn't have a regular salary, when money came in, that we would give 15% to the Lord. And I thank God that we have given, multiplied thousands of dollars all over the world for missions. And this is one of the things I've taught my children. And it's the only reason why I believe with all my heart, through prayer, through faith in God, through tithing and giving, it's the only reason why that we have survived as a family of nine and a worldwide ministry outreach without working a job, with me, the head of the ministry, head of the family, not working a job. God has provided for us down through the years, miraculously, in multiple ways. Primarily, I believe, because we committed to giving back to Him, to many other ministries and churches and works. So I'm here to tell you, I'm a living witness, along with Jacob, who's, of course, living in heaven, that doing this will be a blessing to your life. Many people don't understand the success of Chick-fil-A, for example. I know why they're successful. Because the owner of the company, the creator of the company, Stuart Cathy, in Georgia, and I remember seeing the little dwarf house, Chick-fil-A. It was not that big of a deal in Georgia back in those days. But I visited their church several times in Jonesboro, Georgia, and for conferences and so forth. But the reason why Chick-fil-A is so successful is because they honor God by closing on Sundays and by the fact that the owner and the people and the family are Christians, and they tithe and they give to God through their local church and through many other ministries. Now, the world does not understand that. But like a magnet, you're drawn to Chick-fil-A. Some of you see Chick-fil-A as manna from heaven, and you gather up a whole lot of food from Chick-fil-A to eat on Sunday because you know they're going to be closed on Sunday. And what I tell people all the time about Chick-fil-A is that when you see the line, you might as well just get in it. And the servers are so well-trained and so well-mannered and so hard-working. Just get in that line, and I assure you, within a few minutes, you'll get your food, and it will be first class. And the service will be first class. I believe God has blessed Chick-fil-A because of what Jacob promised God, that he will give a tenth of all that he is given from God to him. And he learned that from Abraham. So when we have something, ladies and gentlemen, you're right. Most of us think that we can trust ourselves to give freely out of the good feelings in our heart. However, that does not always work. It doesn't work for many people. When we have something, oftentimes selfishness kicks in and we want to keep it. That's why the commitment is necessary. And that's why I thank God I didn't hearken to the voice of my wife. We would be in bad shape if I had done so. She did not want me. She saw the money in my hand. She did not want me to tithe and give that money. And only by the grace of God and faith in God. Because I wanted her, like all other husbands want their wives, to handle the money. And you just handle the money. Make sure you tithe and give to God. That's what I told her. And you get the groceries and so forth and so on. And for some reason, she was struggling with that tithing aspect. So I had to take it out of her hands. Because I knew that if we didn't tithe and give, God would not bless our family. I don't care what you say, but where we believe in grace giving, you better believe in grace giving and tithing if you want God to bless you in the way that only He can. You tithe and you give. You tithe and you do your grace giving. All of it is of grace anyway. We ought to give to the Lord and make that commitment so that whenever money comes in, there's a certain amount, a percentage, you give back to God. And I taught my oldest daughters this so well that they have been faithful in tithing and giving to the local church as well as to the ministry that they grew up in. Thousands of dollars already since they've been out on their own have been given to the ministry. One of the reasons why I'm able to preach to you today is because of their giving. They learn well. They learn well. And God has blessed them tremendously from tithing and giving back to Him. And so as we look for the second coming of Christ, and we're not a prosperity gospel ministry here. We just believe that if you obey God in this area and all other areas, God will bless you and He'll prosper your life in ways that you will not be able to even imagine. We ought to give to the Lord and the Lord's work, whether we feel like it or not. Jacob recognized that all of his blessings came from God. This is the occupy until I come. Yes, stuff that you need to hope properly. It's not about just sitting on a hill somewhere contemplating and thinking about the Lord coming. The Lord may come today, but He may come 1,000 years from now. You need to occupy until He comes. So that when you get to heaven, He won't say, "What were you doing sitting on a hill contemplating? Now you're dead. Now you can't serve me." Now He wants you to serve. He wants you to serve Him while you're living, while you have air in your lungs, blood in your veins running warm. He wants you to serve Him until you see Him face to face, either through the rapture or through death. How to hope. How to hope in the blessed hope. You need to occupy, Jesus said, until I come. This is a part of the occupying. Give. People, ministries need money. You need to support such ministries as Samaritan's Purse. Yeah, I'm getting nothing from this. You need to support the Urban Alternative. You need to support World Vision and other ministries, but first to your local church. You'll do your tithing to your local church. They need the work, the money to do the work of the ministry locally. We got people who like to tithe all over the world and give the money all the world and don't have the money for the local church. And that's backwards. That's not how God wants you to do it. It's just like a person who wants to go to the far corners of the world to preach the gospel, but they won't preach the gospel where they are. No, give locally. Give to your local church first, and then give to other ministries. Those of you who benefit from this ministry, we have my oldest son put together a Patreon page. Just Google Gospel Light Society Patreon page. If you want to give to that to this ministry that reaches around the world, just on one our base podcasting platform, over right at 12,000 people last month heard the gospel in multiple ways. That's just one aspect of the ministry. No doubt over 100,000, I'm sure, heard the gospel through this ministry over the last month or two. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor for that, and for the souls that have been saved, for the Christians that have been encouraged and hopefully revived. Give. God will bless you, like He's blessing my daughters. My second daughter is going on her third mission trip. My oldest daughter is going on her fourth trip. And since she's a Christian, every trip is a mission trip. Two have been for business, and this will be her fourth strictly for mission work. They're not out of their 20s yet. God has blessed them because they give back to God and God's work. And God wants to bless you too. Please stop thinking that God is out to get you, that He's out to harm you or hurt you. He's not. But you need to be obedient. He's not going to bless you if you're disobedient. That's in the Old Testament and that's in the New Testament. Regarding Jacob, his safety and travel would come from God. Same thing for you and me. I marvel. This last trip we just took was a miraculous trip, as they always have. All of the trips we've ever taken are miraculous. I don't even want to begin to tell you how God worked miracles for us on the road. I'm always amazed that we made it back. I'm amazed. See, that's what God includes when you tithe and give to Him. Whatever success Jacob would meet with in the land of his mother's family would come from God. The old black saints used to say, you can't beat God giving no matter how hard you try. And listen, they knew exactly what they were talking about. That is so true. I can't even begin to explain to you how God does it. I can't. It would take me too long to even begin to explain. I can't. In fact, I wouldn't be able to. It's just God. God just does stuff, man. It's amazing. To me, I just stand back and marvel. See, what I know about the preachers that you think are so great and so wonderful, they don't feel like they're great and wonderful. They are just as shocked as you are at how God has used them. They're standing in amazement. They're in awe of God, what God has done. Jacob recognized all of this ahead of time and determined that when he received his blessings, he would turn around and give back to God. Isn't that the kind of heart we all ought to have? To have a heart where we want to give back to God. We count it a joy. We can't wait to see what God is going to do with the money that we're giving back to Him because He gave it in the first place. Statistics show that most Christians give less than 3% of their income to churches, to local churches, or Christian ministries. Not only ought we to give 10% or more of our monetary income, but we ought to give a large portion of our time and talents. In fact, the most valuable thing you have is talent. In the movie, the remake of A Star Is Born, the main actor told the young budding star, he said, "Listen to me. Everybody in this room is talented. Everybody has talent. But you have got to believe that you have something to say. Otherwise, your talent is not going to shine forth as it should." But he said, everybody is talented. And that is so true. Many people die before they even use their talent that God gave them. God says in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament that your gift will make room for you. And that is so true. Your gift, your talent that God has given to you, some people don't have the faith in God to give back to God so that they can self-actualize, if you will, and see the talent that God gave them that would bring even more income in to give back to God, to give to ministry work and missions and so forth, because they don't have faith in God in the first place to step out by faith and do what God has wired them to do. But you're rich in talent, rich in ability. But if you have an evil, wicked heart, it will not shine forth. It will not shine through. If you have a Judas heart, it will not shine forth. You kill it with the Judas spirit, with rebelliousness and selfishness and stubbornness and meanness and hatred. You're so busy being hateful and mean and trying to hurt other people that your gift does not shine through, and therefore your money does not shine through. And you don't even have the money as you should have to tithe and give. But even if you have, I taught my daughters, Danny and Danita, I taught all my children, if you get a dollar, you get 15 cents. And some of you may laugh, but there were times when that's what we got. What came in that day was a dollar. And we would give 15 cents to World Vision because that was my oldest daughter's thing. She heard C.C. Winans at a church, and C.C. was with World Vision and supporting them and trying to help them raise money. Danny went forward and made a commitment, my oldest daughter. And we would sit in front of our little rinkety computer that was on one leg and stayed on one leg for a long time, and we were in a bad situation. Things were tough and things were tight, and when some money came in, if a dollar came in, she would give 15 cents to World Vision Online. That's exactly right. That's the truth. If we got $5, we would give whatever 15% is. And that's precisely the reason why God has blessed my life and blessed the ministry and blessed our family to survive. And everybody, the first four children have graduated from college. Three are on the way. Two are already in college and another one is on the way. Only by the grace of God. Everybody has written a book. And God will bless your life if you make a commitment to Him, if you make room for Him, if you give back to Him, honor Him with your resources, with the money that He gives to you, the resources that He gives to you, are you going to honor God with it? Not only ought we to give 10% or more of our monetary income, but we ought to give a large portion of our time, our resources, our talent directly to the Lord's work. And I know everybody can't be full-time in the Lord's work like me, but you can give some time, and you ought to. As we are awaiting the Lord's second coming, we ought to want to be laborers in his vineyard, not just at the vineyard of the world. It's okay to work in the world if that's what you want to do. It's okay to do business in the world and so forth, as long as you put God first, make a commitment to God, and make sure that when you get that money, you give God what you're supposed to give God. And God will bless you to get more money. And we ought to commit to showing our gratitude for what the Lord has done and will do for us by committing a portion of our time, our talent, our money, and resources to his work in the earth so that others can hear about Jesus Christ and be saved freely. Ladies and gentlemen, Howard B. Gourzet said, "Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for the truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have so others can be saved. Give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you will be given. God, his beloved son, gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have so that others can be saved. Give of your best to the master. Naught else is worth his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have so others can be saved." Amen, somebody. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace, your strength, your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit to hear, to preach your holy word and to hear your holy word today. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to hope, reminding us that we must occupy until you come, that we must not just sit around in contemplation and not give you proper place and not commit to you in serving you in this place and not give as we should, meaning that we should work. We don't have to work for somebody, but we can work for ourselves, have our own business. Lord, help us to work and to work hard, to work with excellence, and so that we can give back to you. 10% plus an offering, and to do it cheerfully and to do it joyfully. And Holy Father God, help us to hope in your second coming and to live like it. Save those lost souls that need to be saved. Reclaim your backslidden saints. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you have never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, have never been born again, I urge you to trust in him because he is coming again. If you do not want to be left behind, here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. which is eternal hell forever. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. You and I have broken the Ten Commandments of God, and therefore we are guilty. And God is not interested in putting us in jail, but he will put us in hell. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have done evil in God's sight. We all have done wrong. We all have failed. And so, dear friends, we need to accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. That's why we die, is because of sin. That's the only reason why we die. We don't die from cancer. That may be the agent to take you on out, but that's not the main reason why you die. Three beautiful young ladies, graduates of college at LSU this past week, in their either 20, 21 years old, 22, went out into eternity because of a helicopter situation. The main reason why they died, along with the other four people, is because of sin. The helicopter was just the helicopter accident was just the agent that brought about the death of these people. They graduated May the 19th. They're dead today. My point is, in telling you that, is that you could die today. If a 20-year-old, 21-year-old just graduated from college, whole life in front of them, father, a billionaire, one of the girls was the daughter of the billionaire who died too. He died. You ask, well, how much did you take with him? Nothing. Not a dime. It's tragedy. Sad. But it happens every day. We die because of sin. That's the real reason why we die. And that's why we have funeral homes. That's why we have graveyards. Because people die. And we die because of sin. And everybody will go this way if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell. If you die without Jesus Christ in your heart, you will go to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." You see, the soul is going to live on forever, somewhere in heaven or hell. "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a real place. I read that verse because I want you to know that Jesus Christ sees hell as a real place. He created it. Not for you, though. He created it for the devil and his angels. However, if you choose to live a life of acting like the devil, talking like the devil, and doing like the devil, you're going to go to hell with the devil. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. And the saddest aspect of hell, dear friend, and I say this to everybody here in this congregation and everybody out there, is that once you go beyond the gates of hell, you cannot get out. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. It is over. God has you here today, wherever you are in the world. We have people listening to us from Russia, from China, multiple cities in China, across Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Nigeria, Niger, Philippines, Korea, wherever you are, God has you here right now by divine appointment for you to hear the gospel so that you can be saved today. Many others have trusted Christ as Savior, so can you. And I would encourage you to do that today, because hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you today. This is my job, to tell you the good news, to offer to you eternal life insurance. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. He suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. That's all it takes, dear friend. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to sing in a choir. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to even get baptized to get saved. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you're willing to do that, if you're ready to do that, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, thank you for salvation. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. And dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. This may be our last day on earth, so take advantage of God's grace and mercy, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior if you have not done that. Christians, get your heart right with the Lord and repent of your sins and do like Jacob. And let's keep hope alive in the second coming of Christ.